How y'all doing tonight? I was only gone a few days and she got wild on me, so I'm having to train her again. Well, once again, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And so are you. You're blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you gotten a chance to listen to has the pastor gotten a chance to listen to Sunday morning's message? I just wanted you to be proud of me. I crammed an hour and a half message into, well, I got through by 11:30. I said you'd be proud of me. Well, I wanted to remind you, if nobody else did, that I got through early. And I didn't. That's unusual. I told you. In Denver? Oh, and when I was preaching in Denver, I stopped at 1. So, and I got started a little earlier. Anyway, but I preached 3 messages there, not 1. They just didn't know it. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm still suffering from that trip. I didn't think I was going to have a voice this morning, but we're going to trust God to get me through. I didn't fix a long one, or I didn't prepare a long one tonight because I wasn't too sure I could last that long. But God is good. He gave me yes all the time. He gave me a lot of material on that flight from Houston to Denver, fast as I could write. And it took me Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, till Sunday night to get it out. And wore me out. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I'm still tired. Praise God. Woke up Monday morning, ready to get on the plane. There was 6 inches of snow outside. There wasn't anything. It was bright and clear when I went to bed. Took us an hour to get to the airport on ice. And I said, man, I'm going to be late at Houston. Anytime you got to go through de-icing, you're in trouble. I mean, it takes a while. And got in there, got checked through, got into the right terminal, and the sun broke out. And the plane didn't come in until the sun was already out. So there wasn't any de-icing. So everything was good. Everything's always good, right? Snow is beautiful. I told a friend of mine that was taking me to the airport, you can have it. I'm not even going to take any with me. I want you to have it all. Don't need any. While he's out there shoveling and warming the car up and getting the snow off the car so he can see it. I don't miss it. And for those of you that have never worked in the snow, you don't know. You just really don't want to. But if I were there, I'd be calling it good. And since I'm not there, I'm calling it good. But I'll tell you what was strange. And you guys need to remember. I took this heavy leather jacket because that's going to be cold. It was 16 at night, and some days it got up to close to 40. But I never put my jacket on. And then I get up Monday here, and I'm freezing to death. I've got to wear a heavy jacket. It's cold here sometimes. Anyway, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we give this time to you. We come in your name, as your people, hungering and thirsting after you. Help us to give and to receive. We want to leave here with information. We want to leave here with a good shot of vitamins from you. Let your word wash us tonight and change us. And for these things, we'll be forever grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, you will agree with me, and continue to agree with me, that my visit was there was to grow the kingdom. It was to do some repairing, and it was to grow the kingdom. I chastised some. I built everybody up, and I did it in Jesus' name. Or actually, let me say it another way. I did it for him. I didn't do it for me. I'm going to do that here tonight. I'm going to give you a word. You're going to listen, and you're going to receive. Amen? I believe that, because the Holy Spirit's going to just massage tonight. A short word. Turn to John chapter 21. I was reading this evening and I saw something I'd never seen before. So if you'll read that with me, I'm going to read it once and then I'm going to go back over it. John chapter 21, verse 13 through 17. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he kind of aggravatedly said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now I want to talk to you tonight about the sound that you make and where you fit. And none of this is going to be bad. I want to say up front that as the body of Christ, there are all types of levels of people. And every one of them are good in God's eyes. We've been hearing here that God sees a piece of Himself in every person on the face of the earth. And He sees Himself in those that He's born again. But He also knows that there are little ones, there are growing ones, and there are those that are supposed to feed. And I'm going to show you three things that are three stages of life that Jesus talked to. See, I'm a little like Peter here. What in the world, God, did you keep asking through Jesus, "Do you love me?" Why did you keep doing that? Well, I'm going to propose to you tonight that He was actually taking Peter through not only his immaturity to his maturity, but in his ministry process, what he's going to be doing in stages and different lives. First, verse 15, 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonah, "Do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my lambs." That was his first order. Feed my lambs. All of us begin as a lamb, a small, a little one, just like this one that can't feed himself. Somebody needs to feed that lamb. So Peter was going to start off feeding lambs. All right? That's his first order. Okay, we see in the body of Christ, or the body, that Jesus is saying we've got little ones that need to be cared for. You see that? Feed my lambs. All right, let's go to the next one. He said again, "Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Now we've got another stage of life. We have lambs and we have sheep. Okay? And then the last one, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. Now we've got two things we're looking at here. The body of Christ, the different stages, and a minister here that's being told by Jesus what he has to go through. You understand what I'm saying? There's going to be those that feed lambs. What is a lamb? A lamb, well, let me stay on course here. What is a lamb? Well, a lamb is a little one. They don't really have any idea what they want or need, but they know how to bawl. They know how to make noise. And it seems like all the time that's what they do. When they're not sleeping, they're they're making a noise that's mostly irritating. But it means I need help. I need some sustenance. Okay? So Peter's shown, one, you're going to tend, you're going to take care of these little ones, and there's going to be little ones to be taken care of. Hopefully tonight, as we're talking here, you're going to begin to position yourself. See where you are. See where you are in the church. See where you are in what you think your calling is. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Everybody is important. Then he said, "Tend my sheep." Now, sheep are these that have grown up some, strengthened up. They begin to quieten down. But they need to be led to green grass and still waters. Now, if I'm talking to Peter, then he needs to understand he's going to graduate from feeding these little ones to where he's going to start, just like these parents. They start off with this little one. That little one doesn't even know what in the world it's up to. They're going to graduate like he does. They're going to learn to teach him different things than nursing. They're going to learn, first they're going to teach him not to cry so much. So we've got a dynamic going on here of one learning and one learning to teach differently. So Peter's assigned to feed the little ones, the little ones assigned to eat. Now we've got a bigger, a one that's quietening down, getting more mature, but so is the teacher. Now he has to tend. He has to learn to tend, Peter does, has to learn to tend the one that's growing. So he therefore has to grow some himself. You hear me? Teachers, Peter, the calling of God, is one that continues to grow on the one that's ministering and the one that's being ministered to. And God considers the one being ministered to more important than the one that's doing the ministering. How do I know that? Well, he asked him three times in three different ways and got him a little aggravated, like he's so important he can't listen to someone that's risen from the dead. You understand? Peter always did have a temper. It's amazing that God can use somebody with a temper, just like he can use the little one. Sheep become satisfied. They're led around. The little one's carried around. As you become a sheep, you're led around. And the way you keep them quiet is to give them green grass and still water. So we have a minister here that needs to know where it's green and where it's still. And then his third progression is you're going to feed. Not tend now, but you're going to feed my sheep. It's a whole lot easier to eat than it is to feed. So Peter's being told, whether he realized it or not, that as your progression goes, as your maturity goes, and those lambs grow bigger and now you've got grown Christians, you might say, that are looking for more than green grass and still waters. Well, what are they looking for? No, they know where to find the food. They know where they'll find the water. They know how to be quiet. Why aren't they satisfied? Why didn't we stop with two? Why did we go to the third one? Because, and you need to question yourself where you are on this progress. When it comes to feeding sheep that are already grown, you must be feeding them for something else. Well, you're feeding them to feed. Nowhere in ministry, nowhere in production of anything are you to be satisfied with just being fed. There's something in God's progress in the body of Christ where there are those sheep that have been appointed not to be sheep. They are to grow into feeders of sheep. And they are the ones that have to go back to the beginning and start over feeding the little lambs, tending the sheep, then feeding the sheep. The trouble is, in the body of Christ, let me look at it from my perspective for a second. I want everybody to quit being a baby. It's the biggest desire of any minister. So babies are pains. If they hear you coming, they cry. If they hear you going, they cry. If they wet their own diapers and fuss at you. They'll play and poke themselves in the eye and get mad at you. Think you did it. Now, come on, I'm talking about church now. If you haven't seen this, I'll guarantee you Noel has. You finally want to say, grow up. Which I have said a couple times. We got three calves at the house, and I don't... Anyway, they were Christmas presents that we ended up with. And you can walk out the door. They can hear you anywhere, and they go, bah. What do they want? They want you to stop everything you're doing because what you're doing is not important. What they want is important. That's how you know what a baby is. Now, I'm asking you, see where you fit. I know none of you are in here like that. I know that every one of you know that somebody else's business is every bit as important as yours. And your problem is not any bigger than anybody else's. I know everybody's graduated with that, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know why we feed those cows, those calves? You know why? So one day they'll feed somebody else. Said the spider to the fly. The only reason that I will spend my time feeding is so that one day they'll feed somebody else. This is the picture. This is the progression. This should happen in everybody's life. It should happen in every teacher's life and every baby's life. There's a progression. Boop, 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 boop. And you start over. Boop, 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 boop. Where are you? Where are you tonight? What's your desire of your heart? Is the desire of your heart to have somebody feed you or to lead you to green grass and still water? Or you go find the green grass and still water and feed somebody. Where are you? Feed my sheep. A feeder of a sheep is one that provides nurturing, helps, and provides green grass and still water. What sound are you making tonight? in your life? Are you one of those that is bleaking and lowing and bellering? Something happens to you. How loud does your neighbor hear you? If you have a problem, how loud is your spouse hearing you? Is it a praise or is it a... See, you can't really call a baby's cry a praise. I mean, you got to have an imagination to believe that that's a praise. And they will suck from you until you're dry and never say thank you. And I believe Jesus was warning Peter about that. In fact, I think Peter was one of those for a long time. He was loyal to Jesus, but he didn't even say thank you here. And Jesus was telling him, you need to grow up. Listen, I wouldn't have liked it at all if Pastor Doyle would have come to me and said, you want to minister Wednesday night? Yeah, well then start in the nursery. Because I've spent a lot of time doing that. I'm thankful he didn't. But I've done my nursery duty, literally. And I've done my janitorial duty, literally. And I've built churches. I've done just about everything. And I thank God for every one of them. And when I was reading the scripture, I realized that all of that was God's ministry to me, preparing me for God's ministry to you. Does that make sense? Now, I want you to know that you need to hunger and thirst after what Jesus is talking about here tonight. You never need to be satisfied. Listen, let me back up. Let me qualify what I'm saying. Everybody needs to be who they are in Christ Jesus and nothing else. If this little one right here, I would never take that little one in the back room and say, don't you ever cry again. Because that's not the ministry that little one needs. It needs to be treasured as one that God has given. And if it's one that's just grown up enough to start looking for some quiet areas, that's fine. That's God's gift to the church. The God's gift to the church and the ministry needs to be impressed, needs to be one that cherishes everybody. Everybody. If we're going to talk about seeing God in everybody, then we're going to have to love that person wherever they are. And when Jesus said, these will always be with you, what he was saying is that some are never going to grow up. And you're going to minister to them just like they're worth a jillion bucks each. Because they're worth Jesus. I'm not chastising or criticizing or trying to hold anybody down. I want to build you up. I want everybody in here, and every one of you been a baby, because I was. I have been my baby. I have been a big baby. And there was a lot of things that God did to bring me from that. My wife might tell you I'm still a big baby, but don't listen to her. We need to go from, there's nothing wrong with being the baby, but that baby, there's something in that baby right there that wants to grow up. Did you know that? And there's not a thing you can do about it. You can put a rock on his head and he's still going to grow up. And you're going to hate every minute of it. I mean, you're going to love it, but you're going to hate every growth minute because it's growing right out of your hands. And one day that boy is going to look at you and say, you know why I'm the way I am? Because you made me that way. Now, are you ready to receive that word? One day he will look at you and say, I'm as ornery or whatever as you made me that way. You made me that way. But there's something in that baby, you can't stop the growth process. Now, is it that way in the Christian life? Don't you really believe that in a church full of people like this, that every one of you have a calling in your life to grow from this stage into those that feed sheep? I believe there is. Nothing wrong with any of the stages. But there's something in, built in, that wants you to grow and you to grow and be one that takes on the responsibility. Maybe not the whole church, but somewhere in your neighborhood, somewhere next to you, there's somebody that needs to be fed. And if you're in a habit of crying because you're hungry, you can never minister to somebody else that's hungry. And that's what God's design is for you. Everybody in here. So as you judge yourself, as you analyze yourself, if you hear yourself doing a lot of crying at your own hands, maybe it's time to move to the next stage and get quiet. Get quiet. Start enjoying God's gift of green grass and still water. And then when you get real comfy, that chair gets real comfy, I'm safe here, then expect God to move on you and do His next thing in you. If He told Peter that, He told all of us that. That's why it's in the book. I'm going to move on you a little bit. There's nobody safe. There's nobody in here safe. By the way, if you make a decision, I'll never minister to anybody, well, then you're just stunted. Your growth is stunted, and God loves you. I went to a funeral today, and there was a young lady in a wheelchair. And she's all, you know, God loves her. He's not going to punish her for not moving on. It wasn't His desire, and it wasn't His will. Now, some of us look like that in the spirit. We're all atrophied because we have not moved to the next level that God wants to push us. Now, nobody in here feels like I'm stepping on any toes, right? And I don't want you to. I'm serious about that. One that feeds is going to be moving and leading and teaching and nurturing, helping. He's going to call everything good. Or He's going to tell you the bad thing that happened in your life, God is making it good as we speak. He's going to build. He's going to build. You know what's going to happen if you really are put in those positions? Pretty soon, there's going to be people that start quoting you. You know, I heard old so-and-so say the other day, I hope what you said was good. Somebody's going to quote you. I got a little grandson that's teaching me all over again, man. He's the biggest mimic in the world. And he not just mimic the way you walk, he'll just repeat what you just said. I mean, instantly. Sometimes that's aggravating. What's the most aggravating is when he says something that you don't like to hear. You realize, I'm not going to talk that way. I'm not going to say those negative. Nothing negative. Stop the negative. If he's learning, let him learn. Are you ready to take the burden of people learning to talk like you? To walk like you? Walk behind you? One of the church members in my church in Denver wrote this nice book. I mean, it's good stuff. And, of course, they signed it and gave it to me, and I opened it up, and I started reading, and I thought, these are my messages. I mean, not every word, but you could. I mean, I knew that it was in there. And you're going, I didn't. You, come on, we're all human. I said, well, I didn't see any credits for me in there. I thought, well, it wasn't my word anyway. If I'm ministering, it's God's word, right? Did I say I came to you in the name of the Lord? Then what in the world am I wanting my name and there's credits? You know? In the church, we've got this lady that's a great pianist. We've got a grand piano. When she sits down on that, oh my goodness, gives me goosebumps to listen. And she came to the church, she started playing, and one day she came up, she said, Pastor, I've got a song I want you to hear. God gave me a song last night, and I'm going to play it this morning. I said, go for it. It's called Sanctuary. That's the name of it. And it talks about that church being a safe place, a very safe place, a place of love. And I thought, yeah, that's where church is supposed to be. Nobody's supposed to feel unsafe. Now, God, you know, is it all right to say God patted me on the back right about that minute? Because what I was doing is I was getting a compliment in the word of a song saying that I had made this a safe place. Now, I didn't think I had that ability. I'll say it to you again. I didn't think I had that ability. I thought I was a dangerous character, man. The things I preached and the things that I said, my word, I don't think I would have taken it. But there's this lady saying that she came from the world and she walked out and was safe inside of here. I'm going, all right, God. And what that does is that makes me better. I'm not always going around worried about what I'm doing. I stop worrying and I start doing. Where are you? You're worried about what you're doing? I told you this evening, I said, you just need to get bold on some of those notes, right? And it won't crack. Your voice won't crack. Let it go. We make the mistakes when we're fearful. Well, I'm a baby in Christ. Good grief. That's the best position in the world. You have the least amount of responsibility. You have the most leeway. The most grace. But don't try to stay there. You know, my grandson's getting old enough now, excuse me, I believe in corporal punishment, to where my son always said that I whipped him a lot, that I was tough in whipping. And so I asked him one time, I said, how many spankings did you get? Three. I said, no wonder you're spoiled. I should have given you more. Now, if you can talk about 16, 17 years getting three whippings, you didn't get whipped too much. I promise you that. You didn't. Now, my grandson, you know why he only got three? Because I didn't mind growling. I didn't mind looking at him funny. I could raise my eyebrows and scare him to death. Come on. You don't realize how valuable that is in lives. They know the boundaries. I like to know the boundaries. Part of the growth process is to know how far you can go and where you shouldn't go. One day, it'll be up to these two parents to teach that young man how far he can push him. And if they don't do it right, he'll just be a spoiled brat. He won't be worth shooting. Wouldn't waste good lead on him. I'm sorry, we got a whole world full of them right now in the United States. A lot of people need to be taken out back and hands laid on suddenly. I used to sit in church and get to cutting up. My mom would thump me. Boom! Did it hurt? Don't know. Got too mad too fast. Couldn't feel anything. But I knew when to be quiet. I knew if I was going to get thumped if I didn't get quiet. Now let me ask you, people of God, in this church, do you think somebody ought to get thumped once in a while? By word? I'm going to tell you something. I needed thumping. As a kid, I needed more than that. I was on me. But how about you? If you're one of the young ones still learning, is it all right for somebody like Peter that's called to feed and tend, is it all right for them to go over there and poop you once in a while? Are you going to get mad and say, I'm looking for a different church? They felt me in there. Wah! You know I'm not getting after you. I said, you judge yourself. I'm not going to do that. I have to judge me. I like company. I know when God thumps me, I can tell you. Here's, if you'll go to Ephesians 4, here's the whole goal of what I've been talking to you about tonight, about the orders that Jesus gave Peter. I never thought about that. Do you realize that Peter got aggravated at Jesus after he was resurrected? I didn't think about that until just a while ago. Resurrected Jesus, and Peter says, what are you bugging me with those words for? Jesus didn't get mad back. Just remember that. He didn't get mad back. He treated him just like who he was. Somebody that wasn't mature yet. But he's still teaching. All right, Ephesians 4, 10 through 16. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints. So if you're in church and ministry is going on, one of these reasons has got to hit you. It's equipping. Why? For the work of the ministry. Remember what I said? I told you I've got three calves that I'm feeding them, so one day they'll feed somebody else, or me. But it's somebody else. They're there for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's edifying? Building up. So sometimes this isn't about equipping, it's building up for somebody that's been pressed down, has been run over, has been, you know, they're feeling real down. We do this until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So none of this is to make you in my likeness and image. From baby to one that feeds, it's all about making you in the image of Jesus Christ, the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. How do you know a child? Well, they do what they want. They're just tossed around. one day they're mad at you, one day they're glad with you. You know, or 1 minute, it can be minutes. One day they listen to the news and find out that we're evolving and we came from an ape. You understand? They raised in church and the school let them school teach them that we were evolved from an ape or a monkey. Tossed. We gotta build up. We've got to edify. We've got to teach. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So we're not just against the world's theology. We also have to stand firm against wrong theology. by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love. It didn't say loving on them. It said speaking the truth in love. So we can see here that those that are going to be bold enough to speak the truth are the ones that are really loving you. Not ones, those that tell you they love you. Speaking this truth grows up, that you may grow up in all things, into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies. That's not the beer joint. That's not the little funny weed joint. You know what the joint here is? You. You and you and you and you and you. What every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Now, you need to understand something. That young man right there is doing his share. He's doing exactly what God called him to do. And he's adding to the body of Christ. He's one of those joints. You know who he's building up right now? Those two. That young man is forcing them to become adults. That's why I told you there is no lowly and highly thing here. There's nothing, none of this. If you'll just do, if you'll work where God has placed you, you will cause others to grow. That's what the scriptures say. From the least to the greatest, from the most immature to the most mature. Working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What did it say? If we're all doing our part, we're edifying the body. Everybody's satisfied with everybody's position. Everybody feels a need to grow. And everybody's fulfilling. God, help me grow. I want to mature. I want to be able to, one day, I want to be able to do what they're doing. Or whatever God puts in your heart. So that the whole body is growing and edifying itself. That means it's kind of like a snowball that gets to rolling. If all of this is working, that thing just gets bigger and bigger on its own. And also better and better on its own. What do we need to do? I told you, you need to judge yourself. If you find out that you've been, watch my mouth. If I've been nursing on more than I've been nursing, maybe it's time for me to grow a little bit. If I've been letting everybody else do the tithing and I'm not doing my part, I'm the one missing. I'm the one missing out. I need to grow a little bit and start. God says, try me. Well, let's do it. Those steps, and you can call them baby steps all you want to, but they're not baby steps. Every step is a huge step. I mean, he will bang his head. He'll do all kinds of stuff trying to take that first step. But don't tell me it's easy. Just go do it. Just do it. He won't give up like people will. Like grown-ups, they'll give up. I'll bang around. That hurts too much. I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, come on, man. That's not what God's challenging you to do is be led around. He doesn't want stall-fed calves. He'll do that for a while, but then he wants you to become one that feeds the calves. Everybody in here understand what I'm saying. Don't come to church to nurse. I shared that with it the other day with you. That I mentioned in the scripture about stop drinking milk and start eating meat. And I described steak knife. And the next Sunday I came to church and somebody got on the phone, pulled a trick. The next Sunday I came and everybody raised up on a knife and fork when I stood up to preach. That's growth. That's growth. That's taking the pastor and saying, all right, here's what we're demanding from you. You understand what I'm saying? You want to talk about meat, then here we are. Here's our knife and fork. Don't talk milk. That's good. That's maturity. That's edification. That edified me. The whole body being edified. This is not the most exciting thing I've ever talked to you about. But I can promise you it's one of the most rewarding. If you listen to what I'm saying. The best way to keep this young man healthy is for those two to eat right. To sleep right. To think right. Especially here when he's nursing, he's just eating what mama ate. And that's really the trouble with ministry sometimes. the ministers, the teachers, are not eating correctly. Therefore, they only have to feed what they've eaten. You've got somebody that's totally dependent. He doesn't even know it. He's totally dependent on you eating right and you acting right. Totally dependent. His disposition is being formed right now. Within the next few years, he will totally be developed. I don't mean physically, I mean mentally. So the church needs to take on the responsibility. When God sends somebody that's hurt, they're immature, they're young, they're new Christians, what are we eating? What are we feeding on? What do we intend to feed those? Are we ready to feed what is needed to those that are hurting or those that are needy? And if we're not, we need to pray about that. You have not because you ask not. You want to be, which stage of life? If you're Peter, which stage do you want to be in? If you're one that's dependent upon a Peter, maybe, by the way, you know how to get a good teacher? Pray. Now, he didn't know he could pray for a good mom and dad. But one day, he might just pray that y'all get better while you're praying that he gets better. That's the body edifying. It's exactly what we're talking about. You know, if you don't like, if Pastor Doyle comes up here Sunday and he preaches a message that you think stinks, you keep your mouth shut and tell God. He'll probably correct you, but just in case his message did stink, he'll probably correct him. This is the body working. Do you think God wants you stunted? No more than you want him stunted. If you ask, you're going to receive. God, I believe you for meat. I'm going to bring my steak knife prepared for meat. Do you think God's going to say, No, my meat rations run out? I don't think so. I don't think so. This is his scripture to describe to him what he wants us to look like, the body of Christ. By the way, we have a perfect example. We need to remember that the life of Christ was our example. How did Jesus start out? Babe. Not some highfalutin minister. Not somebody that was full of wisdom and knowledge. He was a milk-sucking babe. Pooped his diapers, caused his mom and dad grief, probably got a little colic. He was like you and I. He felt every feeling. You understand? That's what the Bible says. That should encourage you. So no matter how much you feel like you messed up or you're a baby or whatever, just can't over. Listen, Jesus started his ministry at 30 years old. He was 30 before he ever performed a miracle. Why? Because that fit the law. You weren't a man until you were 30. Where are you? Jesus one time went off and disobeyed his parents. And then when they found him, where have you been? He smarted off to them. He said, I've been about my father's business. What if your kid tells you that one day? Now you have to hold your tongue too. The point being that Jesus showed us in our growth, I don't care what our final ministry is going to look like, in our growth, we're going to start as a babe and we're going to grow up. And therefore, that means somebody has to be ministering to babes and growing them up. You've got a two-tiered situation. And all I want you to do is from now on, you judge where you are and grow. And grow. And if you see things in your life that are not quite up to standard, you grow from that. And if you need somebody to help you, you insist that God provide that. As children, you can do that. Now, if you become a minister in some way, then you're going to have to eat right so you can feed right. It's that simple. I told you this wasn't going to be complicated. Kidding. We need to be on the growth curve that Jesus Christ was on. What caused him to grow? When he got through trying to please his parents, all he wanted to do was please God. That's what caused him to grow. He never, you know, by the way, do you know how to honor your parents? Never dishonor them. Never bring them dishonor, and that brings your parents honor. The other thing is that if you are satisfied anywhere in your life, let me be honest with you now. If you're satisfied where you are, you're through. You're through. You have nothing more to offer the body of Christ. Just get in a position to help the church and stay there and be quiet. Because you've decided. You know what I mean by help the church? I mean the building, for instance. Facilitate things. But if God, if in your heart there's just a little more, then you're still headed for far beyond anything you've ever seen or asked. Because you're relying on Him now, you're not relying on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you failed, it's not God. If you stop, it's not God. If you sit down, and I don't care how old, I don't care how young, if you just want to just be, you know, left alone, then that's what you're going to get. But if you want what God has for you, then it's going to be far beyond anything that you can think or ask. Amen? Choose you this day. Lays it before you. All right. I was longer than I thought. And my voice held. Amen? Once again, that was some meat for you. You want dessert? Well, no. Bad for you. I want again to challenge you tonight. Just challenge you. If you want the kingdom of God to grow, you grow. Because that's who the kingdom and where it is. You've got to grow. You're either growing yourself or you're growing somebody else. And if you're growing somebody else, you're growing also. And you said amen, right? So you make a commitment tonight. I would like for you to make a commitment tonight that you're going to seek God for growth. First in you. We got to seek growth in us every day. But if we're serious about that, then what's going to happen? He's going to put some people in our lives that we can grow them. Does everybody in here know that you can grow somebody? You've got it in you. You said there was a piece of God in you. Did you not agree with that? Then that means there's some God that you have in you that you can give to somebody else, and that grows them. You're not here to be entertained. What was the old saying they used to say? Sunday morning was for the sinner. Sunday night was for the saint, and Wednesday night was for those that are really serious. Something like that. I don't know exactly what, but so I'm talking to you tonight. You're here. You've given up a night. You're called to grow. And you're called to grow so you can cause somebody else to grow. Whatever stage you're in, now be satisfied. Move on. Thank God for the stage you're in and thank Him for the one that you're moving to. And then thank Him for the challenges when you have to go feed the lambs. Because your next step is you're going to get to tend the sheep. And after that, you get to feed the sheep. Amen? All right. Anything? LaDonna Taylor. Yeah, my wife had she was playing a CD of hers on the radio, so that's the only reason I heard what you said. I already heard it. LaDonna Taylor. So, we're going to minister to her. Did you hear what I said? We need to get a mindset that we're not coming to be ministered to. Especially artists, the performing artists that used to come to my church, I'd take them in the back and I'd say, look, we're going to minister to you this morning. And you're going to leave this place more blessed than when you came. And we're going to bless you more than you can bless us. So you just try to outdo us. Just try. And it's amazing how those people get blessed. After the service, I say, you were right. I didn't see anything happen. But you speak spiritually, you're going to get spiritual results. Be bigger than you. Say things that are bigger than you so that you can do things that are bigger than you. All right. Anything else? Father, we thank you tonight. I thank you for these people. I thank you that they came to hear, so they heard. They came to grow, so they grew. And I speak into them not only ears to hear, but now they put feet to what they heard. They act upon the Word, and the Word grows them as this body becomes in unity. Comes into unity for the growth of not just here, but this city. That they move into a place of ministry because Jesus said, feed them, tend them. We volunteer. We do it in love as you did to us. We feed back now in Jesus' name. Everybody that leaves here with a new word and a new commitment, agree in Jesus' name by saying amen. Thank you, Lord. Y'all dismissed.